Blog Talk Radio.
Network. I'm your host, Derek Felix. Another show has been demanded and commanded, so I have brought back another show. Yes, we did a show already. Yes, we did. It's 2 hours basically live and 3 hours, almost total, 2 hours and 54 minutes to be exact. That was me. It was Colin Kennedy. It was John G. and Oriel, JTG. And our guest, Lou from New Jersey, who's joined us for about 20 minutes. As we talked mostly baseball, and we got through all the divisions, and we made our picks, that Colin and I. We did not really get to awards, and we didn't get to some other people. I know that Brian David wanted a show. Apparently, I booked a show that was too early for even Brian David. Yes. So I finally booked some shows earlier, and it's not good enough. But this is a chance do-over of sorts. So it is Hard Hits live again for about another hour here as we can do more baseball. We can get into some hockey if you want. We can even talk basketball, even though it's kind of boring to talk basketball, especially if you're a Knicks or Nets fan. But a lot of stuff going on as usual, and we got opening day in less than, a little more than 24 hours, I suppose. Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, actually, less than 24 hours. What the heck am I saying? That's right. It's 11:05 already in the evening here on the East Coast. So, I mean, you're going to have baseball all day tomorrow. It's going to be an extravaganza. And get your popcorn ready, folks. The show is starting. It's starting for everybody. Everybody starts 0-0. Like Colin said in the last show, as we talked about it, you know, at the beginning of the year, it's not about predictions, not about any predictions I'm making right now, not about any predictions that anybody makes, that Joel Sherman makes, that anybody who covers baseball makes. They all start the same. So you do all start the same. I mean, you may not all finish the same, but everybody is excited for opening day. And I think it's going to be historic when you have every team in baseball playing and participating. I think that's great. Boy, there's going to be a lot of chattel flipping. I might have to get a couple of brewskis, a couple of cold ones, and some peanuts, and away we go. The number is 424-675-8226. Cross up Hard Hits Network as we talk about some baseball. We talk about the excitement that's going to be coming. I did not get around to MVP picks. I'm just going to review really quickly how I see the divisions going since nobody has called in yet. AL East, I have the Yankees winning the division with, I think, 90, I'm going to say 96 wins. I got the Red Sox finishing second, getting the first wild card with 91. I had in third place, I went with the Orioles as the third place team, Blue Jays as the fourth place team. Those could be either or. Kala went the other way. And I got the Tampa Rays finishing fifth, finishing with about over 90 losses, probably about, I think they'll probably lose about 92, 93 games. All right. The AL Central, we both have the Indians. The Indians should win probably about 95 games. So around the same as the Yankees. I've got the Twins. We both got the Twins finishing second in the division. I have the Twinkies with 87 wins getting back in as a wild card. Kala does not. He actually has them finishing right around 81 or 82 wins. Third place in the AL Central, we both agree that the White Sox are on the right track. The White Sox, to me, could be a 75, 76, 77 win team. I think Colin agrees. Fourth place is going to be the Royals, even though they're not going to be good and they're going to sell some players. And Salvador Perez somehow MCL and is out 6 weeks because he took a misstep carrying luggage. And fifth place and dead last will be the Detroit Tigers. They will be the worst team in the American League. Collins says they're going to lose 100 games. I'll say that they lose close to 100. I'll say 97 losses for the Tigers. So that I'll be generous, okay? I'll be generous with that. 65 and 97. And the AL West, they've got your division winner, the Houston Astros. The division should be a little tighter, so I could see the Astros actually dropping a little bit of the win total. I think the Yankees, Indians, Astros all could be competing for that number one seed. I think they all could win about the same amount of games. Second place, I have the Angels. We both have the Angels. Kyle took the Angels in the wild card. I didn't take the Angels in the wild card. Collin actually took the Red Sox to win the AL East. So that's one difference. The Angels are good. I don't know how good they are. I think they're maybe between 83 and 85 wins. So that's what I think. That's what I think. I think they'll fall just short, despite the fact that they made some nice additions. Third place, I went with the Athletics. I like a lot of the young talent that they have. I talked about Chapman. I talked about the two boppers, young boppers they have. I talked about Barreto. I like some of the players on that team. And, you know, I think this is a team that's going to surprise some people. Kala went with Seattle. Seattle's got more proven players, but they're a little old. They're a little long in the tooth. I don't really like their rotation. Hernandez will pitch better, probably. Paxton, after that, you got Paxton. You got like, guys that aren't too good. They do have some proven performers in that lineup. Robbie Cano, of course. Nelson Cruz. Seager at third base. And they also did trade for D. Gordon. But I'm not confident. Edwin Diaz, though, does give them an edge at closer over the Athletics. You got Seattle, and then finishing last will be the Texas Rangers. They'll hit. They will rake. They'll definitely hit. Joey Gallo, I have hitting 45 home runs, probably striking out 200 times, but he's going to hit second. Beltre's still there. Andrews is still there. So they'll hit. But the pitching is not good at all, and they're going to struggle. All right, so. And just to wrap up my AL, I went Red Sox over the Twins in the wild card, Yankees over the Red Sox in one matchup in five games, just out of five. And I went Astros defeating the Indians in four, and I unfortunately went with the Astros again beating the Yankees in seven games. All right, so that's the American League. National League we'll get to in a second. Bring in our guest of honor. He did demand this show, and because I made my other one too early for him. But he is the one and only Brian Sanhorn. Brian is all of us out in the laid back and snappy land of California. Good evening, Brian.
Good morning. It's more like it, Derek. How are you?
It actually feels like morning here. So, I mean, it's been very pleasant. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh,
what's going on out there?
Not a lot, man. My allergies have been killing me. I'm struggling with my health care insurance, which because these idiots still haven't like helped me. But hopefully things will get squared away. That's all.
Yeah, take it day by day. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. Well, I'm sorry that you missed our earlier show. But it was Colin and I mostly. JPG was in for a little bit. We got this guy Lou from Jersey that called it Tara show. He actually was pretty good. He was actually pretty knowledgeable.
Go for the show. Yeah.
He was only on for like 20 minutes though. I didn't keep him that long. But we mixed up. We did some baseball. We also did a little bit of hockey. It seems like he's a Razor fan. But
oh boy.
He also strike one. He also had some interesting picks. He picked the Yankees to win 100 games. I don't know if we can win 100 games. I'm not so sure about that. 95 wins? 96?
We'll get into that.
Possibly.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the goal is to win the division, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is really the key, just to stay out of that wild card thing that they got. You know, and can they do that? That's the real question.
Well,
I mean, I know Boston is all knowing, all great, all everything, but is it possible they can do better than the Red Sox? Or is that just, you know?
I think they are better than the Red Sox. I mean, between you and me and the lamppost, I think they're a few games better than this year. The lineups are both very good. I think maybe you could give the Red Sox a slight edge in the rotation, but I think if Sonny Gray pitches to the form, I believe he will. I think the Yankees rotation could be a strength, not a weakness. And I love Al Bopa. And I'll take out boppers. I'll take out boppers against anybody. So,
I do have some concerns about the lineup a little bit.
Okay.
I am concerned about Stanton moving to the American League. You know, it's going to take a little time. It sounds ridiculous, but, you know, now he goes from Miami playing in 12,000 seats, a monstrosity, you know, little pressure to the pressure cooker of the Yankees, and he's expected to deliver, and we'll see what he can do. You know, he was supposed to have these years before, but he's only had one of them. So it doesn't guarantee he's going to do that again.
You know what else?
Last year.
Well, that is that it just depends on health. I mean, he's had some injuries before. I think his previous career high was maybe 35 or 36 jacks, and then he was hurt. So if he stays on the field, you know, this is the way I look at it. You want a guarantee for me? That's what I see. A combined 120 home runs from those big three of Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez. So,
okay.
All they have to do, so 40, 40, and 40, or someone hits 50, someone, the other two guys hit 30, or 45, 35, and 35. That's what I see, 120 home runs between the three. And that excludes whether or not what happens with Greg Bird. I'm sure they'll be very patient, and they'll wait until bringing him back in late June or July. And hopefully he could add some pop to the lineup. I think they'll be okay. They'll survive. They'll be okay without him for a couple of months. I'm curious to see how Neil Walker and Tyler Wade fit in. Neil Walker will get the start tomorrow at second. You have Tyler Austin at first base. Hicks right now, starting center fielder. I don't understand why Hicks is batting fifth and Didi's batting sixth. I would have preferred to have Didi Bethur break up those right-handed hitters, but you know that's just how it's set up for tomorrow. Didi's our most professional hitter. I like the pickup. I do like the pickup of Drury from Arizona. I think that was a good pickup. You know, allows them to develop Gleyber. Gleyber, of course, had a little bit of a struggle in the spring. That's understandable. He's come back from a serious injury. And they could be patient with him, and there's nothing wrong with that. So there's a lot to like. When you talk about our bullpen, I mean, what's not to love there? I mean, you got Chad Green, you've got Robertson, you've got Chapman. I think Betances is in line for a bounce back. I'm sure he's wants to prove that he can bounce back from it. There's a lot to like. And we have Montgomery as a fifth starter. If Gray pitches the way I believe he can pitch, I think Tanaka will pitch a little better. I think the rotation could be a strength, not a weakness. If the rotation does struggle, then who knows? Maybe the Yankees go out and get somebody. There's a couple of options that I could think of. Well, off the top of my head, Cole Hamels being one. Maybe Cole Hamels. Maybe a Madison
Bumgarner. Lost a couple miles an hour in his fastball, though. I don't know about him.
Although maybe a Bumgarner, but Bumgarner would cost a lot.
What?
And I don't know if I want to do that. But
why not?
Well, hey, I mean, if they got Bumgarner, and they would have to give up a Clint Frazier, probably give up a Chance Adams, give up a couple other really A-listers. I think a couple of them on top.
What's his contract
situation? Just remember, Bumgarner be a free agent in 2019. There's a club option. I checked it out already. So, and he signed to a very cheap deal.
It's only 2 years. I don't know if it'll cost both prospects, but it could cost one.
I'm speculating that the Giants will realize because of the injury to Bumgarner, the injury to a BPJ, JPG's favorite pitcher, Samardzija, that the Giants will actually have to realize that they'll have to rebuild and they'll field offers for Bumgarner. That's what I'm expecting.
Oh, I would imagine they should know that by now, but they're not acting like it. They're going out and getting, you know, McCutcheon and Evan Longoria and all this, you know. So, I mean, are they kind of in denial right now?
Well, look, if you talk to my dad, he would say yes. He would definitely say yes. So, on that. But sometimes teams try to hold on. You know this. We've seen it. We've seen it in sports before. Teams don't want to admit that, you know, that they need to do it over. Look how long it took the Phillies to admit that they needed to do over things. So, it happens in every sport, right? Except for the Knicks, because they just see their shadow every year. So, it's like I can't even talk basketball anymore. But I think eventually the Giants will do what the right thing, and they'll realize that they need to reboot it. So they'll reboot it, and they'll do what the White Sox have done. The White Sox have a lot of the young talent there. They got from the Nationals. They got from some other teams. And
I've heard you've been obsessed with the White Sox lately. Is that true?
That must be JPG.
It's very random. Yeah, but it's very random how you come up with the White Sox right off the bat. It's very revealing.
Look, I'm a very revealing guy. You know this.
The White Sox have they're all you can think about.
They have my attention. You know, I'm not always focused on the Cubs. I know that's very unfortunate for our...
But let's be honest. Why are we focused on the White Sox? Why?
They got a nice little mix of young guys. Tim Anderson and Moncada could be a nice shortstop second base combo. Carlos Rodon is not going to be back for a while, probably until June. But you've got other young pitchers that they're developing, Lucas Giolito, Zolga for Lopez.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just
And don't forget,
I would say that team probably has about I don't know, mid-70s wins tops. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're going to do much better
than that. I think they could win 75 games, maybe top out at 75. I mean, why not?
By the way,
I mean, that's a
just switch gears on
good.
Baseball.
I mean,
did you I'm watching something on TV now. Do you know Francesa Russo got together on the show called Hype?
I watched
on the
it.
Major League Baseball
oh,
Hour?
I watched it. I mean, I had to
yeah.
watch it. I
was
mean,
it good?
It was great. They were doing their over-unders. It was a lot of fun. I got a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching it right now. They're doing their
They showed flashbacks. They showed flashbacks of some of their stuff. They showed the classic
mm-hmm.
Russo rant where he went berserk after they lost, after the Giants lost to the Marlins.
Oh, that
win
was
one, please.
Yeah, that
win
was
one.
Just, yeah.
I'll give everything.
Yeah, that was, I remember listening to that live. Al, that was amazing. That was great. That was one
I've
of
I've never
best.
Heard.
Yeah, that,
more passion, right? I've never heard more passion
yeah.
in a rant. I've been listening to radio for a long time.
Yeah, no. Is it, you know,
that
let
was,
me preface that. Legitimate passion. Some people try this passion and it comes across as fake.
You know
but
what?
He
there's nothing fake about Christopher Bad Dog Russo. And I think that's what I enjoyed most about when those two were together is that there was that passion. There was, and they pushed each other's buttons. Francesa with the whole car, everybody's getting in the car when the Yankees were making their 96 run. Russo rooting for the Rangers with the Texas Rangers thing.
The thing I still love to hear was during the dark days of the Yankees, they used to interview Steinbrenner. So those are some of the best interviews I've ever heard. But I can't
I've
find
heard
them
that those.
This is before the World Series. This is before even Jim Abbott came on the team. This is like late 80s, early 90s. Dark days, Danny Tartable. You know, dude, it was some of the best stuff I ever heard. Because they did.
I've heard about those.
Steinbrenner would get a little irritated. It was great. It was so good.
I
can't find them anywhere. I used to have it on a tape, but I can't. I lost it. Yeah,
oh, my God.
I taped it, but I wish I could find it in there. You know,
I
just would love to listen to it again.
I bet if we did a search, we could probably find something on it.
I've tried,
thinking,
but I don't know.
But
I haven't tried.
Never really had success on it.
No.
You know, tomorrow is the final day of Ibis with Don Ibis. Do we get a show? Actually, it's
not
only.
Yeah. No, a long career, 50 years, and, you know, it's
unbelievable.
You know, all comes to an end, and, that, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean,
it's life.
It's things evolve, and but, you know, it was New York radio is still, in my opinion, and I've lived in LA now for a while. I've been around the country. New York is still the best, in my opinion, when it comes to radio personalities, and will continue to be until proven otherwise. I don't care. I mean, LA's got some good things going on now. I think it's gotten better over the last 10 years, but it's still nowhere near to the pitch of New York at this point.
Here's a question for you. I mean, you obviously have a gauge on this more than I would because you live in – you know, over in that California area and that Southern
mm-hmm.
California region, Lakewood.
Yeah.
What's your, if you could listen to something on the radio that's there, what would be one go-to thing you could listen to that's sports-related in California right
sports?
Now?
There's a couple.
Sure.
There's not a ton. I like Marcellus Wiley in the afternoon. I think he's really good. I like his personality.
Right.
He brings a lot of personal anecdotes from his days with the Bills and the Chargers. You know, he brings a lot of that. He's admitted things in the past that he's done. You know, he's very stand-up. You know, by all accounts, a good guy. You know, I've heard. The show in the morning with Keyshawn Johnson is not half bad, actually. Keyshawn, the only problem I have with it, I shouldn't say that. It's really Stephen A. show has become so political, it's just insane. But
look, I mean, I can't, there are certain shows that, you know, I won't listen to.
We get Colin Cowherd, we get, you know, Colin Cowherd is what he is. He's a button pusher. He has some good moments, but otherwise, he's just a glorified button pusher. you know, there's Mason in Ireland in the afternoon. They're not too bad. Yeah, you know, so
okay.
Okay. They're not, you know, there's Petros and Money, 570. They're national. Petros is just a complete nut job, but I like that. He's just fun. He's a Greek guy. He used to play for USC back in late 90s or so. But he's got a real interesting rating. That one, kind of like a, he's sort of like a West Coast Mad Dog in a weird way. He's got a voice that you wouldn't expect to be on radio, but he's got a really interesting out there personality. He's complete, but sometimes he's good. Sometimes he makes good points. So, yeah, but it's a little bit of everything, really. But I don't listen to it a ton because I have the app to listen to. I listen to Buffalo Station on the way home quite a bit, depending on what time of year it is. Like this time of year, I listen to it a lot because it's all draft stuff.
So I listen to that.
And that's really about it, especially in the mornings.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I have my favorites on that station, too, so that's, you know.
Did they play tonight, or are they playing tomorrow? When are they
tomorrow.
Playing again?
They play tomorrow. They play tomorrow.
Okay.
Day. This is day. Who are we talking about? There's only one day. The team that's completely eliminated from the playoffs, their focus is completely on them.
No doubt. No doubt. You know,
if I hear one more draft source, I'm gonna. It's just, the Bills interested in Baker Mayfield. Last week it was Bills interested in Josh Allen. Last week it was Bills all in on Sam Darnold. Well, dude, you have no idea what's gonna happen. So stop it.
You know what?
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Will you please just? I can't take it anymore. I talked to Rob before. I'm telling him we can't get out of March. There's like 1,000 days of March. Is March ever gonna end? I mean, there's like about 1,000 more days until the draft. I have to listen to people call in. Oh, listen to the Giants. What do you think the Giants are gonna do? No. Trade Odell Beckham. Don't trade Odell Beckham. Well, if you didn't have dopes like Pat Leonard.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Spreading rumors.
All right. Let's focus on the Giants for a second. All right.
Okay.
What would you were
the GM
right now?
I was Gettleman. I'm Gettleman.
Now, two things. I'm going to ask you two questions. Right.
Okay.
Number one, what would you do if Odell Beckham Jr.? Okay. And number two, right now you're on the clock. Sam Darnold is gone. Okay. What are you doing with the number two pick?
I'm taking Saquon Barkley. For that, or I'm trading it, or I'm taking Barkley, or I'm trading it.
So you're not on the board of taking Josh Rosen, a guy you can groom for maybe a year or two under Eli Manning and see what happens.
Oh, are you talking about the lineman Chubb?
Yes. No, I'm talking about taking a quarterback. Would you not take? So you're telling me under no circumstance would you take a quarterback too?
I don't want a quarterback out of this draft. They could take a quarterback later in the draft. They could wait until next year, as far as I'm concerned. That's not what I want.
Not ready. Okay, all right, that's fair. No, I'm just asking your opinion. I have a feel. Just my instinct will tell me, Derek, I do think they are going to take a quarterback. I think they're going to look at this as an opportunity. The Giants don't pick this
high as well, so no. She's very rare.
I have a funny feeling they're going to say, you know what? Don't forget, this is a new coach. It's a new GM. I know the whole thing with Manning last year. I get that. But this is it's kind of like with the Bills with Tyrod Taylor. New coach, new GM comes in on a lesser scale. Obviously, you know Eli Manning. But, you know, allegiance has changed.
You know, Jerry Reese was really tied to Eli Manning for a long time. Gettleman is not tied to Eli Manning. Neither is your new coach, Shermer. So I would not be shocked.
If I was Gettleman, the first thing I would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would buy an expensive bottle of wine, of red wine, and I'd pour myself a couple of glasses.
I'm watching this rant on Russo with the
and then,
Giants. So good.
And then you know what I would do?
Gestures. Okay.
I would get some takeout from the best steakhouse or from MYY Steak with some fancy mushrooms and some just lovely wild rice and broccoli. Mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
And I would have my red wine, and I would just sit there fielding phone calls from desperate GMs that want to trade up. That's what I would do. Yeah. I answered.
All right, so let me ask you this. So Odell Beckham, okay, obviously, listen, there's no denying his talent. The guy is one of the greatest receivers I've ever seen, okay, when he's right. Yeah, he does things that very, very, very few receivers can do that I've ever seen.
I actually have an idea for Odell.
Okay.
Would you like to know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, so here it goes.
Oh. I was thinking about the wifey. That will work too.
Maybe like hang him from his shoes upside down.
Oh my goodness, I hope the NSA is not listening to this.
Oh. You know what? I hope not either. But you know,
oh, Derek.
But I mean, honestly, look, it's gonna work out. I'm not worried about it. I don't read idiots like twos like Pat Leonard, who's like thinks he's Mike Lupica Jr. trying to get Odell Beckham thrown out of here. But like,
let's be fair though, Derek. This is usually something the Jets are dealing with, not the Giants. This is not very common. You know, the Giants have been a more buttoned up kind of stable organization for such a long time. And over the last couple of years, it was very unusual to see, even just my vantage point, I'm not a Giants fan. This is very unusual to see. You know, so, you know, I think that's really, you want my opinion?
Go ahead.
I do.
What are you getting at that from?
Because you know what?
If the Browns want to give up their fourth round pick,
I'm just going to say this right now. How many playoff games have you won with this guy at high level? None. Okay? What I'm saying is if you want to win, okay, you know, the Giants will obviously need a receiver. They can get one in this draft. There's plenty of good ones. They can get
you know what they could do? They could change their whole strategy. They could draft a quarterback at two, whoever it is, Josh Rosen or whoever, and then they could take Calvin Ridley and trade down for Calvin Ridley.
They could.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that.
The Giants could also, you know, listen, the Giants are also picking high in the second round. Just remember that, okay?
They do, yeah.
So they could – see, the problem the Bills are going to have is do the Giants want to go down to number 12? That's a big problem. Because when you're picking two, it's really hard to justify, you know, to your owner, okay? Forget anything else. Hey, you know, Tiff, and you know, we're gonna go to number 12. That's not very appealing. Number two. It's very hard to sell me on that. When you consider, okay, Eli Manning is playing seven, and you're trying to win now. Okay, you get a lot of draft picks, but you're going to get players that need more development. You know what I mean? Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is you'll be right. If the Giants really think they can win with Eli, you do take Saquon Barkley, number two.
I love him. We have had a running back in a long time.
Who are you talking to right now? You're talking to a Penn State fan, right? But I will tell you. Okay, but I will tell you, after seeing the Bills take Marshawn Lynch and C.J. Spiller high in drafts, I do not support taking running back so high in the draft.
So I understand where you're coming from. You feel like, you know, you could always get running backs later in the draft and go for that elite position, whether it's the quarterback or it's like a big pass rusher. I think that's what you're saying.
By the way, have you ever listened to Saquon Barkley talk in an interview?
Not much. I really haven't.
I recommend it. He's very, very impressive. He's very, very impressive. He is an absolutely dynamite young man. In my opinion, he's the kind of guy you want on your team. He's gonna say the right things. He's a good young kid. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He was nothing but class at Penn State, top to bottom, considering all the things that happened there. So you would get that cult, embedded in your culture, the team. This is what the Giants are going to use right now. So that's another thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If Eli was 34 or 33,
it'd be a lot different.
Yeah, I just think, I know they say, oh, he's a young 37. All right, I get that. But the thing is, Eli hasn't had a really good year in quite a while. Like, really good year. Like, you got to start really thinking, I know you want to be loyal to Eli, but at the same time, it is a business. And you got to think about the long – just think about it this way, Derek. You see how
mm-hmm.
bad the Bills struggled to get a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to deal with that for 17
God.
Years?
I don't.
Like, that, you know, what I'm saying
get the,
is, oh,
believe
get
me.
One again.
Believe me. That's in the back of my mind. I mean, I know where you're coming from when you say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do understand that whole thing right there.
I got a trivia question for you. Bills quarterbacks they've taken in the top 10 in the NFL draft in their team history.
In team history?
Yes, in the top 10. Name me the Bills quarterbacks
in the top 10. Well, let me think about this. Would Chip Kelly be one of those guys?
No.
Or was he outside?
Nope.
He was outside, right?
Took him number 14.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know one of them. One of them is EJ. EJ
nope.
Manuel.
They took him number 16. They took him number 16 because they traded down from 8. Can I give you the answer?
JP Lossman.
No. Can I give you the answer?
Oh, that's right.
Can I give you ready for this? They never have. They never have.
They've never taken a quarterback in the top 10 in their history?
Never. Never. Not once. And you want to know why the Bills have
holy crap.
Most of their existence. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
That's
this
very
is,
interesting.
Listen, I know we obsess about the QB, all right? But it's – again, I'll go back to 3 or 4 years ago, okay, when the Bills played the Packers. All right, I'll give you an example. The Bills had Kyle Orton. The Packers had Aaron Rodgers. If you separated Aaron Rodgers and Kyle Orton and looked at players 2 through 53, Bills were a better team. But guess what? The Bills didn't make the playoffs. The Packers went to the playoffs. What I'm saying is once you get the quarterback, like, oh, New England makes great moves. Yeah, because they got Tom Brady. Like, once they have Matt Castle, these moves don't look so great.
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
I'll just run up really quick here by you. About that whole thing. And what the hell was I gonna say? I totally lost my train of thought. I mean, I had a perfect question lined up.
It's about baseball, it's about hockey, it's about
no, it's not hockey. I think it's football.
Is it baseball related?
No, this is not
football?
Baseball related. It's definitely football
something
related.
Something about the Giants.
I think so. Oh my God! I mean, it was something that was going to be really good. And I just totally what the heck was I going to tell you? Definitely football related. I really can't believe that the Bills never picked one quarterback.
No.
In the top 10.
They never have. Is that crazy?
That's stupefying.
That's what the Jets taken in the top 10 in the NFL draft.
I'll bet you CJ Spiller was in the top 10.
Yes, he was. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying is you look at New England's dominance and you look at Miami took one quarterback in the top 10, Tannehill. The Jets took Sanchez, but the Bills, none of these teams really addressed their quarterback at the top level. Now listen, there's no guarantee.
Oh no!
I mean, of those four, you know, there's no guarantee these quarterbacks are going to work out. But you have to try it. You have to. There is no. The Bills have to find a way to get one of these four quarterbacks. They do. They have to. If they do not, they passed on Deshaun Watson, number 10, last year.
But, you know,
they could have had their guy last year. I mean, you know, so they're going to face a lot of questions about, well, okay, you had a chance to get Deshaun Watson last year, and you passed on it. Now, granted, they did get Tre'Davious White, who was a great move, and they got a pick this year. But if somebody's going to get left at the altar. This is the Jets trade. You have no idea. Like, that changed everything for the worst.
It does. I mean, there's
going to
be teams prior to
get
that second pick.
I thought the Bills were going to go right into number three.
That's what
I really, really did. I thought they would get
Rob
or whoever
was thinking of it.
But
that's why everybody's going to be calling up. I'll be David Gettleman. I'll just be with my shades on, and I'll just be cool.
Well,
take
the Giants,
calls,
I think the package the Giants get for the Bills is going to be pretty astronomical. I think they could get 12-22. I think they can get a second. They may be able to get 2 seconds this year, and they probably will be able to get another first next year. I think what it's going to take.
If I got four picks, two in the first round, a second or a third this year, and another first, I'm doing
what
that
if you had
every
two
time.
And 3 seconds. What if you had 2 firsts and 3 seconds this year?
I'd do it.
I mean,
why
let
not?
Me ask you this. With those 3 seconds, perfect. You could make those 3 first-round picks. The Giants could move up in the first round and take somebody in.
They could have
3 first-round picks. I mean, they could get a guard. They could get a defensive lineman. They could get a wide receiver. I mean, they could do a lot.
You know what they? You know what else they could do? Well, at least I'm hoping. They could put Eli Bad Apple out of his misery.
Yeah. Well, here's I'm going to make you some quick predictions on what's going to happen here with the quarterbacks. You ready?
All right.
I'm going to rapid fire. Browns are going to take Darnold, safest pick in the draft. Okay.
Yeah, I see that.
All right.
So.
I think the Jets are going to get somebody. Allen Mayfield. I can't decide. Right. The Giants.
They should take Rosen. I would take Rosen.
I think the Broncos are taking the quarterback. I still think.
So do I.
Yeah,
and
the Bills will get somebody. I think the Bills will get one of those four guys. I really do. I think they'll find a way.
I predicted.
Well,
I'll tell you what. I already got the first part right. I predicted that you would get the kid from Alabama. No, I said that
AJ McCarron.
I said that the AJ McCarron. I've called that thing. And my second thing is Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield will be a Bill. So
I think the Jets are going to take Mayfield. I have a pretty strong feeling on that.
You don't think they would have a little fear of Baker Mayfield and what he might do? You know, because he's a little bit demonstrative and talkative. I don't know. You think the Jets?
What does he do? I mean, no, I get what you're saying, but like. You know, I guess it really just depends on what his teammates think of him. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Odell Beckham. It's the same thing. I mean, if his teammates are okay with him in the locker room, then there's no problem. You know,
it seems like most of Beckham's teammates, they seem to like him. They came to his aid. I mean, they went after Pat Leonard for his Mike Lupica.
Yeah, but realistically, I think the Bills are going to get Josh Allen, the kid from Wyoming.
Very interesting.
You know, Arizona is left out in the cold, but I think they'll be the team to trade for Nick Foles at some point or sign him in the offseason. Because Nick Foles is still a factor in this whole thing. He's sort of like,
I don't,
you know, and I could see a team like Arizona going for Nick Foles. Which is
I think Nick Foles stays put. Nick Foles isn't going anywhere this year.
No. I'm talking about next year.
Next year, that's possible.
Yeah,
of course.
Or maybe if Carson Wentz comes back, maybe it's a deadline deal or something like that.
Of course, when we had retirement Rob on the show last night, And we were talking, we got to talk about the his Devils eliminating the Rangers and how celebratory it was and how special it was. I talked about how I'm sure the Flyer fans are holding on for dear life, wondering if they can find a goalie that can make another save. And they must be very thankful to the Maple Leafs right now for doing them a solid.
Can we touch on that for a second? We talk about the Bills crusade to get a quarterback. When will the Flyers ever get a goalie? I mean, has this been a conversation point for about 30 years for this franchise?
The best goalie that the Flyers ever had is Rod Hextall. They had him twice.
Yeah,
it's not even close. He won a Conn Smythe as a losing goalie in a Vesna. And his second stint, he actually was good after he came back from the Islanders. That's truth. That's the actual truth. I mean, Brian Boucher was a fluke.
Roman Čechmádek was Roman Čechpádek once
it came down to the playoffs. They had Marty Biron. He was okay. They also had John Van Beesbrook, another okay goalie.
Not Van Beesbrook in his Ranger days when he was really good.
I think my favorite one, because he was so entertaining, was Brizgalov. But he was more of a comedian.
This has been a point of. This was even an issue when they made the finals against the Blackhawks a few years ago.
Look who the goalie was when they made the finals. I mean, come on.
This is amazing. The Flyers would ever. They traded Dominic Hasek.
I mean, you really can't make it up. You can't make it up, Brian.
Oh, no,
I mean, it's
the Blackhawks, right? No,
they didn't trade Dominic Hasek. But
no, they didn't have Dominic Hasek. I'm sorry.
Hasek was Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa.
Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa. The Blackhawks.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks traded Dominic Hasek to the Sabres.
Stefan Beauregard and a draft pick that turned out to be Eric Daze and something else. I can't remember what else was in that trade.
Maybe a dollar for Ray Shepard? That happened.
You said a dollar. Michael Layton was the goalie for the Flyers.
It's just amazing that the Flyers, a high-profile team,
right?
They've never had like a Carey Price, a Jonathan Quick, a Brodeur,
The irony is that they had one of the best goalies ever when they won their two cups, Bernie Parot.
Well, yeah,
and he was. Yeah, I mean,
we're going way back.
You think they also had what's his name before he had the car accident? Oh my God! I mean, that whole thing.
One time.
Oh God! You know, we're just throwing names out here. I mean, Do you remember when they brought back Boucher? When they brought back Boucher for a time, and they thought that they actually put him back as the number one goalie? I mean,
Didn't they have Tommy Sodstrom at one time?
They did. They also, you know, who was one of their top prospects? He never really panned out. Dominic Roussel. I used to have his rookie card from 92-93.
I mean, it's just it's just amazing how long this has been. I mean, it's just a constant. Oh, it's just incredible. It really is one of the mystifying things in hockey history, in my opinion, over the last 35 years. They cannot find a goalie. Steve Mason, but they haven't developed a goalie in a long time.
They traded Sergei Bobrovsky for Steve Mason.
There you go.
Holy crap.
That was their goalie right there. That was their guy.
They didn't know. I mean,
because they had no patience. That's their problem.
The guy I was thinking of was Pelly Lindbergh. That was the guy I was thinking of, obviously.
By the way, you know, my mom has a theory on something about sports. This is pretty interesting. I was thinking about this at Philadelphia.
Oh, I love theories. She says when I can't wait for this.
When a team wins a championship, the other teams start to win soon after that because they're motivated by the one. Like the fact that the Eagles won a Super Bowl, okay, in her mind, that will motivate the Sixers or the Flyers or, you know what I mean? You know, like, or actually, I'll take it further. Villanova won a national championship. Then the Eagles won a Super Bowl. Like, suddenly, Philadelphia's not some downtrodden anymore like they used to be.
It's still not sold on them.
I picked the
Flyers.
No, I mean, no, I'm not saying they're going to win now. I'm just saying, I mean, the Sixers, you know, they get LeBron next year.
But,
you know, I think.
Nah, he's going to the Lakers.
I don't know about that.
I think he is. Either he's going to the Lakers or he stays in Cleveland. He's put.
I mean, I'm not so sure he's going to the Lakers, Derek. I think the Sixers have a better chance than most people think to get LeBron James.
Well, did he just go hang out and go to the Warriors or the Rockets?
And you know what else? I still think there's a shot he stays in Cleveland.
I think there's a strong chance he stays in Cleveland. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think he may. You know, it depends how they do. It depends how they do. And you know what else it depends on, Derek? Something nobody's talking about. It depends on if that Brooklyn pick hits the lottery.
Oh, brother, that's right.
Look
at
the
standings, about that.
That is a really tight race right now. Like, if Brooklyn lost, like, six or seven in a row, that could really be a high pick. And I'm going to tell you, if that pick hits, that gives Cleveland a major chip, the trade to get another guy next year, if they so choose. They can make some things. So I think he's going to wait and see what happens with that, and then he's going to see, you know, how things look. And that's it. We'll see. But the Lakers, I don't know, man. They were having I was telling Mr. Genorio, they had a conversation. 7-10. Oh, you know, if Lonzo Ball could just get his shooting percentage up to 36%, that would be great. I'm thinking to myself, they just said 36% for number 2 pick in the draft? Getting it up to 36%? I mean, if they said like 42%, I'd say, like, okay, I get that. You know, 43, 36, up to 36%.
I don't know.
The Lakers have issues. They're not as well. I mean, they have 2 max contracts. Okay, that's what they got going for. But they don't have super maxes, and that's a difference.
Yeah, you have to think about Lonzo Ball. Like, he puts up a lot of double-doubles. I mean, if he ever fix the field goal percentage, boy, oh boy, he could be pretty good.
I think he's going to turn out to be solid. But solid is not a number 2 pick in the draft. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean,
like,
if he was picked
12th or 13th or 14th, I'd say okay.
I'm looking at a couple of recent games. I mean, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. He averages 10.2 points, 7 rebounds, and 7.3 assists. I mean, that's not bad at all for a first-year player.
I mean, but again, it's good. It's interesting. It's a poor man's Jason Kidd is what he is.
Yeah, except without a three-point shot. He needs to get that percentage up. You know, I mean, he can make that shot in college.
Here's the thing about having LeBron James on the bench. What is Lonzo Ball's role to see if they get LeBron James?
God almighty. Huh? You know, it doesn't really make sense for them to get him.
No, what I mean is maybe they'll trade Lonzo Ball.
Oh my God.
Dude, why not? I mean, it's funny. I haven't heard much of the father lately. Pretty quiet.
That's because his dad's probably focused with his brother or whatever. I don't know.
No, that's focused on realizing that they're in trouble, that they're not going to be what he thought they were going to be. That's the bottom line.
Possible. Yeah, I mean, that's a big possibility. I don't know. And I can't really say.
The show of shows.
The show of shows? I mean, JPG told me to make another show. And then JPG doesn't want
to
show up.
JPG, to his credit, said he'll try to make it. So I didn't think he was a definite to make it.
Well, we are live for
coming up, so.
Well, we're going to be going into overtime in a little. So a couple of minutes from overtime.
Terribly long, but. So do you have a... thing that I do like, I like this a lot. I like the fact that every team is playing tomorrow on opening day.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty psyched up for that whole thing.
But there's one thing I agree with. He should have They should have had all day games tomorrow. All of them.
If they had all day games,
should have been bigger. Yeah, they should have.
That would have been amazing. That would have been like an old school opening day.
The networks will never allow it because
they want their quadruple head.
But what I'm saying
is
all day games would have been awesome. But they could have had mostly all day games. They could have had the Dodgers play at 4 or 5 Eastern. No, 4 or 5 Western, and I think 8 o'clock start. They could have got that. And then that would have covered just about that.
Truth. You know, I almost get the feeling, bro, that if they could talk about the NFL draft for 300 days, they would do it. You there?
The possibilities are endless with the draft. You know, I could sit here right now, okay, and come up with 15 or 20. I come up with 20 different things that those could do in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, heck, I came up with a conspiracy theory. Somebody asked for a conspiracy theory, and I gave them one.
Well, I got a conspiracy theory for everything.
You want me to give you my conspiracy theory?
What is your conspiracy theory?
Tish and Mara have been very vocal about the Bills building a new stadium. So is Roger Goodell.
A little bit, yeah, they have.
They don't want the Bills to have a 90 stadium because they want to generate revenue in the 20. And now they want more money. Okay. So as a punishment for the Bills trying to move up in the draft, Roger ordered the Jets to move up to 3. Because they have a new stadium to block the Bills from getting the quarterback that they want. As a little statement to say, hey, Roger Goodell does not want Bills Mafia and the Bills fan base to be a focal point. He doesn't want fans to think that watching football the way it used to be exists. He wants it to be luxury boxes. He wants the L.A. stadiums. He wants the multi-billion-dollar experience. So therefore, Roger facilitating the Jets overplaying to block the Bills to get to number 3. So that's my concern. Somebody thought that was hilarious. Right? Yeah, they just came up with it.
I think you could come up with conspiracy theories for almost anything, and you would make me a believer. You would make me a believer in it.
I don't know if that's true, but I do have to eat some crow on something though.
Well,
I went nuts about because I was wrong. I was going nuts that the NHL traded the lottery, changed the lottery odds again, and I thought it was for the worse again. But actually, it's a little bit better for the top team now to win the pick than it was last year.
Yeah.
So I have to. It's not much. It's only 0.6, but they upped the number 2 spot a lot, which I thought was interesting.
They did up the number 2 spot. I noticed it.
So
that was one of the things.
Yeah, maybe hoping that one of the
I mean, I'm fearful because three of the NBC six are in this lottery, and that's going to be a lot to overcome. You know, you got
NBC
the Rangers, you got, you know, Chicago and Detroit. That's going to be tough. So
the Rangers have never come close to having a first overall pick.
You know, I'll say this. I will grant you this. The Rangers and Sabres have not had good luck in the lottery. They have not been fortunate in the NHL lottery ever.
I'll never forget the first lottery when somehow we were in double digits. And the Sabres were like even lower than us. So that was crazy.
The Rangers were lower than the Sabres. The Sabres were 13 and the Rangers. Well, that
you
was the one
what?
Where everybody had a chance. That was the stupidest thing ever, dude.
All right. You
I
know
mean,
what? I remember what I was doing. I was doing jury duty. That's right. It was a hot summer day. I came out.
Let's
I got picked up by my dad, and he told me what happened, and I went ballistic. And I just, like, went out and
all
lost
right.
it. It's like,
you hooked Gary Bettman up to a lie detector test right now. Was the Sidney Crosby lottery rigged? And he says no. Is that needle going crazy?
Oh, it was rigged. It
I
had to
really
be.
Think there's a strong possibility that one was rigged. I just, it's just, I mean, the bankruptcy, the whole Barry Lemieux thing, it just seemed to really reek of other effects. It just...
Sure.
It kind of...
I think some lotteries have been rigged over time. I think the Derrick Rose one to Chicago was rigged. I think the Knicks to Ewing was rigged. I think the Tim Duncan one was rigged.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. That's,
I think
the Lakers getting Lonzo last year was rigged, big time.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. That one last year, Boston Lakers won, too. Oh, yeah, that was rigged. There is no doubt in my mind.
Of
course, the Knicks went down two picks.
Here's a question, though.
I'll tell you what, this is a very... I'll tell you what, there's one lottery I really want to... If the Sabres win the lottery, it will take away a lot of my issues, because if we get Rasmus Dahlin, that could change the fortune of the franchise.
How many teams do you think regret not taking Donovan Mitchell?
Well, quite a few, but I don't think a lot of people saw that coming.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, you know, are they really scouting these guys the right way? I'm going to tell you something. But we have to take that 19-year-old kid, you know, that one-and-done guy over the guy who's 21 years old, who's 21, and might actually be more ready for the NBA.
Let's be honest. Unfortunately, the majority of the time, let's get it right. I'm not saying it's always the right move, okay? I partly agree with you, but there are some guys that are going to slip through. You know,
Donovan Mitchell stay for 2 years with Louisville.
I wish more players would stay 2 years, but less.
And he was traded by the Denver Nuggets. For Tyler Lydon and Trey Lyles. Oh, my God. Oh. Tyler Lydon, the Syracuse guy, and Trey Lyles. Oh, man. Trey Lyles hasn't really developed yet into the player that envisioned. Does that mean that not everybody at Calipari cheat you, are stars and open to stars at the NBA level?
Does John Calipari just remind you of a slimy car salesman when you go buy a used car? I mean, come on.
Every time I see his face on TV, yeah, he does. Every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I watch, that's exactly what I see. I see the same thing that you do.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you Tyler Lydon probably has not played one game in the NBA. Let's see. Yep, I'm right. Tyler Lydon. Oh, this is great. This was a great trade. Tyler Lydon is missing the is missing an undetermined length of time while he recovers from left knee surgery. great trade. That was a great trade by the Nuggets. I mean, see, how's Tavar Sampson doing these days? Tavar Sampson?
Who?
How's Tavar Sampson doing these days?
Oh,
former St. John's player. Oh, let's see. He's on his third organization. Sacramento. Would you like to know how many minutes he averages?
Sure.
Yeah. He actually gets 15 minutes a game.
Not very good.
You mean like 1 out of 1,000? Or more like 1 out of 1,000,000. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
I read you. Yeah, if we go up and down, right? And look at this NBA draft, right? This great draft that happened last year. We're going to find a lot of mistakes made. Okay. Markel Fultz went number one to the Sixers. Markel Fultz.
I didn't like that at the time, but we'll see. The jury's still.
He's been hurt. You know, JPG already called him a bust. He's played 5 games. He's a bust.
I can't.
He got a lot. That's the Benedict. Buster.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna pick that up. We're gonna pick that up on another show, but I'm gonna have to depart.
Cool.
I tell you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Only I hate to break the news to you. I worked overtime.
Okay.
Twice. And so everyone wakes up at 4 something in the morning every day now. So
that's pretty tough to do, man.
Another reason. Hey, you know what? It reminds me of a scene. The Bronx Tale.
I love The Bronx Tale.
When Robert De Niro says to his son, you know, the tough guy is about it, wakes up every morning, goes to work. That's the tough guy.
That's the tough guy, yeah.
It's one of the best scenes of that movie. It's not my favorite.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah. It's a good lesson that I think, you know, and he's right, you know. That is such a great movie. That is without a doubt the most underrated mob movie of all time, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I mean, I watch it with my father all the time.
Good. Yeah.
The kid who went into jail.
Yeah.
He's making a comeback.
Oh, is he really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's out. I hope it works out for him. You know, he's probably about mid-30s now, maybe 35, 36 years old. He's coming back.
Oh.
All right, Brian.
All right, buddy.
Bid you adieu. All right.
I'm going to go through, friend. All right, you take it easy. Thanks for doing a quick show. We'll be doing more.
Oh, no problem. No problem. We'll do more of them, all right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'll
All right, thank you, buddy. All right, that was the one and only. My good buddy there, Brian Sanhor. He really is the one and only when I think about it. I was going to do some MVP picks, but, I mean, it would be kind of boring to do it by myself. Would be kind of boring. If I had to make MVP picks, yeah, it's so easy to take, you know, the best players or take the guys to win the MVP. I'm going to be a little different. American League, I'm not going Altuve. I'm not going Judge. I'm not going Stanton. I'm not going Gary Sanchez. I'm not going Mookie Betts. I am not going J.D. Martinez. I don't even know if he's a top 10 guy. I'm not going Trout either. Although Trout's going to be there. All right. He'll definitely be in the top two or three. I am going to go Carlos Correa. As long as he stays healthy on the field, I think Carlos Correa will win the MVP. Well, Carlos Correa. So although Carlos Correa won, Mike Trout 2, Aaron Judge 3. So we got Correa, Trout, Judge, Sanchez 4. Betts 5. Byron Buxton 6. Carlos Stanton 7. What should be the final three? Lindor 8. Door 8. Altuve 9. Although he'll probably be higher. But I decided to go a little lower of him. And Jonathan Schoop 10. Also my 10. So that's my 10. Alright. I'm going with Carlos Correa winning it. Now, the NL MVP. So, the NL MVP. For the National League Most Valuable Player, I will go Bryce Harper 1. As I said, I'm projecting him to hit 332 with 46 home runs and 120 RBIs in his walk year. So I'm going Bryce Harper, number 2. I'm going to go for number 2. Let's try to think here. Paul Goldschmidt, number 2. Number 3, Pablo Osuna, 3. What a just terrible trade by the Marlins. Just brutal. Pablo Osuna, 3. Chris Bryant. Actually, you know what? No, I'll go Rizzo. Rizzo, 4. I'll go Rizzo, 4. Cody Bellinger 5. Actually, should I go Cody 5 or should I go for the other kid? I'm trying to think what would be better. Alright, I'll go Cody 5. Okay. Cody 5. Corey Seager 6. So also you have 2 Dodgers in there. Throw a couple of Dodgers in. Should be 7 through 10. Freddie Freeman, 7. Okay. All right. You got 8, 9, and 10. What would be a good 8 through 10 for this award? Arenado, 8. He doesn't really get a lot of recognition, but he has to be in the top 10. Regardless. Joey Votto 9. I'm just not ranking him as high. Same thing for Altuve, even though they'll probably be higher. for 10. Kind of want to go with somebody else. Maybe like a dark horse. I'm trying to think, who would be a good dark horse to put in to play for this award? And it's all this is MVP right here, folks. You know, it's tough to just come up with 10 off the top of your head. And I actually want to go a little off the radar, but that's just who I am. I like going off the radar. I like doing things like that because it's just part of it's part of who I am. Actually, part of who I like to be when it comes down to it. Or anybody that I could put in this list. If the Mets were good, I would actually consider putting Conforto in it because I like Conforto a lot. But I don't think they will be in it. Phillies, I don't think they have any guys that finish in the top 10. They've got some really good hitters, but I don't think anybody is really worthy of a top 10 feature right there. Took two Dodgers. I already have two Cubs. If I didn't have two Cubs, I would actually put Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber would be my other guy. It'll probably be a pitcher. It's probably going to be Scherzer. Just because that's how it usually works out. Or if he stayed healthy. You know what? If he stays healthy, Trey Turner. I'll take Trey Turner as my 10th guy. I think I've always thought Trey Turner could be an MVP guy. I think he could really hit. I think he could steal 60 to 70 bases. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's also going to hit double digits home runs. He could be like an Altuve. So I'll go Trey Turner. Okay, Cy Young. Let's go American League first. And I'm not being predictable here, okay? The predictable thing would go to be would be Cooper and say a 1-2. I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to go with a different guy instead. Because it's easy to be predictable. Very easy to be predictable when it comes to these awards. So, who's a guy that would actually be a perfect choice? Perfect candidate. A guy that would be a really good candidate that can actually possibly win this award. That's what I'm trying to do. Thinking about who would actually be a good viable candidate. I'm not going Severino either, so I'm just letting you guys know that up front. I'm not going Sonny Gray. I don't think he is. I don't know if he's a top 10 guy for it. Although I think he'll have a good year. I think he'll come back and have a good year for them. I don't know how big of a believer I am in David Price either, so I'm knocking him out. One guy I do think will be in the top 10 is Dylan Bundy. I'm a big believer in him, and I know what he can do. I expect him to take a step up and be in the conversation. So Dylan Bundy, Jose Berrios could be another guy. Like Berrios could be another guy that steps into the forefront. So these are a couple of guys to look at to get their names in that mix for the award. Just trying to think. Is that a Dallas Keuchel? No. I'm really not trying to be predictable with these awards. I actually want to look at other guys. I mean, it's really easy. It's really easy to just pick someone
that you believe in, that you do believe in, that's like proven, that's a proven like guy. How is Carlos Carrasco looking? Is he fully healthy? Get that Indian rotation. Is he totally healthy this year? 18-6 last year. Yeah, he could be a candidate for it. Carrasco. He's got really good stuff. He's 31 years old already. Wow. He's actually just hit 31 last week. He pitched spring training. Did not pitch well. Oh, got hit pretty hard. Now, I don't like to put a lot of stock on spring training. That's usually not a good sign. So, yeah, it probably is going to be one of the two guys that I already mentioned. But I'm trying not to do that. I'm actually trying to, you know, maybe I should come back to it. All right, so let's go to the National League. You've got a lot of viable candidates in the NL. You've got Syndergaard, you've got DeGrom. I'm sure they'll both be in the mix for it. You have Scherzer, obviously, who's won it back-to-back years. Strasburg. You have Kershaw. If he could ever stay healthy, if he had stayed healthy last year, he would have won. He helped out, but he'll stay healthy the past couple of years. Otherwise, he would have added another one to his collection. You got Lester and Quintana. Those two are. Yeah, Hendricks also. Boy. I mean, the Cubs are loaded. The Cubs have so many guys that could be in the mix for this award. Yeah, they really do. I'm going with Carlos Martinez. Carlos Martinez is establishing himself as one of the best pitchers in the game. And I really like Carlos Martinez to win this award this year, the Cardinals. So I will go with Carlos Martinez. He only won 12 games last year. I believe that he's going to have a big year for the Cardinals. So I will go with Carlos Martinez to win the award. Which would be an upset, of course, because he's going up against so many excellent pitchers. He's 26, 27 in September. So Carlos Martinez is my pick. I think this is the year he breaks through. I will go Carlos Martinez 1. 2 will be Kershaw. 3, Dollar Max Scherzer. 4, I'll go Greinke for four. 5, Syndergaard finishes 5th. 6, be a good 6th place guy at this point. 6. For 6, Lester. I'll go Lester. So, another one of those guys that you definitely will consider and put in the conversation. John Lester. 7. Jacob DeGrom. We got 3 more spots left. So let's try to finish it up. Who will finish in the top 10 for the Cy Young, for that Cy Young Award? 8. Trying to think. I'm going to go for surprise. I'm going to go Aaron Nola at number 8. I just have a feeling about him. I think he's going to be a big-time ace for the Philadelphia Phillies. So I'll actually put him in my top 10, which is a big-time move right there to take him over Arrieta. So we got 2 left. 9. What have we got? We got 2 Mets. 1 Cub. A Diamondback. The Dodger of Dodgers. I'm not picking Bumgarner because I think he'll get traded. And he's missing. He's missing at least 6-7 weeks. Probably not back until June or around Memorial Day. Just trying to think of it. Is there anybody that I missed on that I could actually put, that I could realistically see in this list? When you put together these lists, really try your best to think about the teams, think about the pitchers, and think about you know who else could be in the mix for this award, for the award, because I'm not just doing like top 5, I'm doing top 10. So top 10, you know, makes it a little. Yeah, I got one. And he also pitches for the I think for the Diamondbacks as well. So I actually got a guy that I would actually consider putting in there for this award. I am going to select a guy that's getting better all the time. That's Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray, a guy who was sub-3 last year and had the most strikeouts on his team. So he's 9. And 10 is number 10. Jeez. I don't know who I would put at 10. I'll put Jansen. Jansen will probably be higher. So that's going to do. That's my MVP at Cy Young picks. We could do rookies maybe tomorrow and some over-unders as well. That's going to do it for this show. Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune into our podcast. And welcome in more predictions. Enjoy the rest of your evening, folks. Good night.